Hello, Pablo. I'm Owen Wilsack from Lights, Camera, Film Reviews. Thank you for your time today.
It's my pleasure. At this stage, films have four parts. They have like pre-production, production, post-production, and there's a fourth leg that sometimes we forget that is promotion, which is very important for a director. So I'm happy that you're helping us to spread the word of Robot Dreams to the world.
Definitely. Definitely, and I'm happy to. First of all, like Robot Dreams, I really enjoyed it. An exceptional film, and it was really one of my favorite animated films of the year.
I'm happy to hear that. I'm a romantic director. I make very personal films. So when I see you more as an audience than a press for me at this moment. So I'm happy that you connected the story.
Definitely. So to hop into questions, so Robot Dreams was your first time, I believe, diving into the world of animation. What motivated you to, take that leap from live action to animation?
There's only one reason. Is that I found this graphic novel called Robot Dreams by Sarah Barron. Initially, I just bought it because I collect books that are wordless. I have a collection of over 100 books of wordless books. So it became one of my favorite in my collection, but I kept m making live action films. I made a film called Blancanieves. I read it in 2010. I made Blancanieves later. I made Abracadabra. And in 2018, one day I was just like today, I was reading it, and this time when I read it, something happened. I loved it, like the times I had read it before, but this time when I got to the end, it moved me so deeply that tears came into my eyes. And I know it's because I was visualizing the film, because directors, we have these qualities that too, we can visualize the film before it's finished, before it's done. And I know also because I was thinking about all the people that I loved, and they're not with me anymore. And that's a theme that for me as a director is very important. And what happened is that if I wanted to tell this story with anthropomorphic characters and a robot and a world of anthropomorph and all the characters are anthropomorphic, or I do it in animation, and or I wouldn't tell this story. And I love this story so much that I didn't mind a new way of telling stories. And I have a amazing producers, they've been supporting me from the beginning, and they always push me to go further. So I knew they were not going to be scared if I presented them a project that animated film.
That's really interesting. Kind of like going along with that, were there different like maybe animation animated films or maybe live action films that inspired you while like designing the look and feel of Robot Dreams?
Definitely. I was definitely, or the team, we were definitely looking at Japan, Of course, Ghibli was always as a big reference. In my production, in my office, I had the whole filmography of Ghibli. Miyazaki and Takahata both. I love both of them. I kind of say, who do you like more, Miyazaki or Takahata? It's like, do you love more your father or your mother? I love both. So they
Yeah.
were a big inspiration, and also a big inspiration was also the some European 2D animated films of the last 2 decades. Like, for example, Sylvain Chomet, the films like The Tripes of Belleville or The Illusionist were a big influence as well, What we wanted to do is to make an old school film, like a hand-drawn film, like a deep focus, everything was in focus. And most important than anything, we wanted to make an animated film that had amazing performances, good acting, and to deal with emotion. Because normally there's so many films in animated films that they only deal with comedy and action, and they're oriented for children. And we wanted to make a film that could cater for cinephile adults and children. We want it all. We wanted any kind of audience. And in that sense, I would say that Ghibli, so many films of Ghibli were like a big inspiration for the to follow the path that they already had created.
Yeah, no, those are all great films. So kind of like getting into more of like the film's like production, could you talk a little bit more about like the actual like production of the film and maybe the animation process?
Yeah, so this is the situation what happened. If I go chronological in time, I wrote the script. We did a teaser to get a feeling of what the look of the film. We did some concepts with Sarah Baron, the author, and we financed the film very quickly. Now, so we were very excited that we had a film finance. So early on in the process, the big studio, the Cartoon Saloon in Kilkenny, Ireland, the people behind World Walkers or the Book of Kells got interested in the project. So we were like closing the deal. And what happened is that what happened all over the world, pandemia. So suddenly that deal that it was about to be closed, it was not able to, we had to change the plans for the project. And suddenly we lost the animation studio. So we're still friends and no hard feelings at all. Eh? It was just a question of calendar. So then we had the finance, but we didn't have a studio. We didn't even have the experience to make animated films in the producers that I worked. So we decided to create a pop-up studio. We created animation studio for this specifically to make Robot Dreams. So to do that, you need a few key characters. You need a production, you know, manager with experience in animation. You need an animation director. And in this case, we got Benoit Ferremont, that he was one of the animation directors in the Triplets of Belleville, in the Book of Kells. So we got a very experienced animation director from Belgium, come to Spain for 2 years. And then we had a great art director, José Luis Ágreda, that had just made extremely successful film called Buñuel in the Turtles Labyrinth in Europe. So suddenly I had like this team, and we had to kind of like hire animators from all over Europe, and we had to buy the machines, get the software, create a pipeline. So basically that was, if I have to say something, the most difficult thing was to put the crew together. Because and to create a pipeline that it could adapt to my interest, because I really wanted to make films, animated film, in a little bit in a different way, but also that the producers with experience in animation wouldn't feel like it was not doable. So it was like, it was a unique experience. We kind of got the best of the two worlds, the best of live action and the best of animation to create a new pipeline.
Yeah, no, that's a fascinating process. It really is. So this film doesn't contain like any dialogue, yet conveys such like complex emotions. Could you maybe explain your decision to not have any like dialogue in the film, and was that always your intention?
Well, the thing is that the book is wordless, and that's one of the things that really attract me. And in the past, I had made a feature film without dialogue called Blancanieves already, which it was very successful all over the world, and it represents Spain to the Oscars. So definitely, it had a great career. But above that, it had been such an amazing experience for me as a director to tell stories only with images and music. For me, Blancanieves was a sensorial experience. I wanted to do it again, but I wanted to do something very different, and to make an animated film allowed me that. So 10 years later, I made Robot Dreams, which is again a sensorial experience. And definitely again, the music is the voice of the characters. And in this case, like in Blancanieves, emotion, it was like the thickest layer of the film. You know, I think films are like a lasagna. And sometimes you have a layer of humor, a layer of emotion, a layer of action. But I think Robot Dreams has a thick layer of emotion and also has a pretty thick layer of humor, because I think there's also humor from beginning to end, you know?
Yes, no, definitely. Definitely. So in the film's set in New York in the 80s, and it really feels so real. You kind of get immersed into that atmosphere. Like, how important was it for you to like create this like authentic New York like experience?
It was extremely important, Owen. The thing is that all my films, my previous films, are period films. So I really like the idea, like a cinema is like a time machine. So I like the idea that the audience, when they come to see my film, they travel in time to and space to a different place and era. So with Robot Dreams, we wanted the audience to experience what would be to be in New York in the 80s, a New York that has vanished for 1 hour and a half. So we took very seriously the art direction of the film. So it's authentic and very detailed. We wanted that New Yorkers, when they see the film, they would say, yes, you're right, right on. And that's the feedback we've been getting, you know? So for us, it was extremely important. And as I said before, I lived 10 years in New York. So, and also my closest collaborator, Yuko Haram, has been working with me from my first film. So she was working very close with the art director. So to create this feeling like the backgrounds are really, really precise to the New York era. And the sound, because not only the image, we also wanted to create a New York sound, because New York is a very noisy city. So you have to find fire alarm, police alarms, all kind of alarms, but from that era, which are very different, ambulances, which are very different from the sirens from now, the car sound, the city sound. So
yeah, no, that definitely. And finally, for my last question, I wanted to congratulate you and the entire team on your Academy Award nomination for Best Animated Feature. So what was your reaction to that nomination? And could you explain a little bit what that nomination means to you?
Yeah, I think you should tell Molly or Maggie that they're like to send you a link of their reaction. There's in Spain, it became viral. Even yesterday, we were at the luncheon nominees, and they put like five videos of the reaction. The reaction was like me and the producers really like screaming and jumping. So the reaction was like joy. I think one of those moments is like if you won the lotto, like the big prize. And the thing is, we cannot forget that the Oscars are the biggest cinema influencer in the world. What it means, if you're nominated for the Oscar, your film becomes global and your film becomes part of the world film history. And that's something that for a director, that's the biggest prize, that we are going to get to a wider audience, that if a much, much wider audience than if we didn't get nominated. So my thought immediately came to that, you know, in the huge amount of audience that they're going to see Robot and Robot Dreams, and that made me and the team very, very happy. For example, the film has not been released in the States yet. You know, it hasn't been released in many, many countries. It only has been released Spain, France, Brazil. There are 4 or 5 countries, but still there's so many countries that to have the logo or nominated for is going to make that, it's a bigger success. So I'm very happy for that.
Definitely. And I would encourage everyone to see it when it's released. It's truly incredible. But that's all the questions I have. Thank you for talking with me, Pablo, and congratulations once again on this great film and your nomination, of course, at the Oscars.
Thank you, Owen, for your generous and kind words about Robot Dreams.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to this interview. Please make sure to check out the film discussed today, Robot Dreams, which was just recently nominated for Best Animated Feature at this year's Academy Awards, and will be in theaters May 31st. It truly was one of my favorite animated films of the year. And finally, thank you to Neon, Perception PR, and Mr. Behar for his time. This is Lights, Camera, Film Reviews, signing out.